Hello, and welcome to the Pitt Rivers Museum. In this first episode of Making the Pitt Rivers Museum, there's a lot to be excited about. We'll be hearing from X, a musician and art activist from Makanda, South Africa, and Roars, a hip-hop and multimedia artist based right here in Oxford, about their work as the first creative fellows on the Making the Museum project. They've been working with our collection of sound recordings, as well as responding to objects on display in the galleries, and even the museum space itself. Those of you who've visited us before will know it's quite the experience to stand in a space like the Pitt Rivers Museum. You'll hear some of the poetry and music that they produced during their time as fellows throughout the episode. You've been listening to me for quite a while now, so who am I and what am I doing in your ears? Well, I'm Becky Martin and I work on a research project called Making the Museum here at the Pitt Rivers. I work alongside our project lead, Chris Morton, and our project researcher, Beth Hodgett, both of whom you'll hear from today as we ask our fellows some of our most pressing questions about their work with the sound collections. Our research team also includes Marenka Thompson-Odlam and Chris Gosden, who I'm sure you'll hear from in future episodes. But today, you'll mostly be hearing from X and Roz.
I'm Roz. I'm an artist from Oxford. My practice is based around words and music, but I also do other forms of creative expression as well. Drawing, collage, painting, all sorts of things. So yeah, just a creative, basically.
My name is Kolile Matinda. Most people call me X because my name starts with an X. I used to rap a lot when I was younger. And then I stopped because I decided that whatever I could be rapping about, I could be doing something about. So hence 2014, started the Black Power Station. So we find the space. So basically, I'm an artist, but I can say I'm an art activist, using art as a way to stimulate people's mind to build a better society, because we inherited a broken society after 1994 in South Africa. I believe the art is the only tool for us to build a future better society through the arts.
Dear old man, ezihlanga undishanaza kuzoba nzima undilingana bendisafuna ixeshana ithutyana lobonisana ngezekhaya njengenkulu ingwevu unyana katyefu endilisekileyo iyakhe kileyo kwasengqondweni the father that raised the soldier that I am to stand the battleground le ndibubomi into enzima buyindoda kufuneka ube qilima ubamba isidima uthatha isikhokelo uquka amakhweniba wakokosa kozaziba sentliziyo wamkele intiyo uvume noba isiyo. Is a struggle I'm willing to learn, living with the contradictions of loving family and keeping with the traditions that are conflicted with Western colonial constructions. Black family are constantly in construction, developed to the mind. Well, I need a father, 1 2 1 2. I need a father, 1 2 1 2. I need a father, 1 2 1 2. I need a father, 1 2.
The first thing that I touched on in the archives, the first thing that I worked with creatively was this 30-minute forest recording. It's something I remember for a long time to come, sort of the experience of sitting with my headphones on in my workshop and just being in that forest or that forest being in me or both of those things at the same time, you know, that moment that was captured, that 30 minutes it was captured in 1980 something, whatever it was, in a place that I've never been, in a environment that I've never seen or smelled or touched, but a part of it could be with me and I could be with it. And so, yeah, that was a really special moment to kind of start the creative process. And meeting people that I can't see and hearing things that I've never touched. you know, it's, yeah, it's magic.
Away from the shore, restore spirit, shape framed by the light of the sun. A tale spun for generations to come, the story begun, what it becomes, forgotten for some, remembered, last words in the light of the embers, a sky full of stars, in your eyes glance, a fire, on a high hill, on a high hill, a fire, on a high hill, a fire, on a high hill, a fire, on a high hill. You must climb, acquire new skills, learn how to build. It's time to find out. It's time. There's a fire to find. There's a fire to find. There's a fire to find. There's a fire to find.
I guess for me, it's the same feeling. I love sound. I'm obsessed with things that make sound, even the sounds we don't hear. So I always choose the weird ones, you know, because I want to give attention. So the one I'll be experimenting with first is the so-called bad recorded version of a record cylinder, you know, and I love it because it has that feeling that even in someone who's a sampler or someone who's into hip hop would gravitate towards to kind of create a feeling of the big vinyl, like, you know, it is one of the coolest things. But imagine taking a recording that you don't really know what is being played, is not clear to your ear. So for me, that's what I'm enjoying with this recording, is that is the atmosphere, not the actual, the recordings, yes, but also the atmosphere they recorded in, because I'm interested about the environment that they were created in. And part of me, I can say, interacting with the recordings, there's many levels of me, why am I interacting with them? One is musically, I would want to get the genius and the greatness of talent of these people. I know they never went to a class to be, this might have been an instrument extended to their father's father. So it might be in a community. I'm interested in what channeling of energy were they trying to give. So I'm obsessed with many levels. So with the music, and also I'm trying to interact the music and the museum itself and myself being present. So I think that has been my approach, is like, how do I get myself present? As Rose is saying, that the environment is never been in. And at the same time, it's like the musicians, we're listening to them in an environment they've never been in, you know. So it's a beautiful transaction. And then it's also a beginning, I think, of a conversation between musicians, me and that person who was recorded. I think that's also a transaction between me and that person. And beside me meeting Rose as a musician, also as someone we share, it's funny that there's commonality with, beside our music, what he's trying to do with music and connecting creatively with things around our community. So for me, that's been the magic in all of this, is to learn.
Basically, today you're learning a little bit of listening from the body, not technically understanding the language, but just the body. This song is called Ubomi, Life. Ndikumbula ndise ityongwane ndisenofifana. Nxana ndibethwa ngumvandedwa ndizivalele phakume rumini. Ndizive ndicula bawo ndenzani na ingaba lameva ndihlaba yo ziziphoso zam zokuzalwa ngashwa ezisetyenziswa zingalindelanga ukuhlawulwa lena impilo ngonahlawulwa umntu othe onekhaya kube eqaleni ekhayeni indawo nozinzo nothando oluphuhlisayo oqholelayo osilelayo kwezimeko zempumelelo wena okwazini oba ngumsimelelo ukwazi abaphansi bazokupha insikelelo ukwazi abaphansi bazokumnsikelelo ukubhala lengoma andiphindisi siciba ndiba ndivala isiziba sokugxabami senhlupheko songabi nakhaya namntu umnyongono zisulo zenyembezi ma ukoso sinqala ukuzalwa kwethu selelityala bayalibala sisithi nje ngabo basizala ukusilahla loo nto ibonisa ubugwala bakuni ngokuthi ningasifuni siphele singaboni izihange zisekuhlaleni izirobhe basazibhankeni izikade zomama babantu ezimarikeni abanqibe ezitafileni abanqibe ezitafileni zabakhenkethi ukube ngekho ndlela ukuthi masendleke kube lula masiqhatheke kube lula masiqhatheke sisebenzele iziyobisi.
I didn't pick anything that has traditions within my Xhosa community. I picked something that picked me because Noel sent me a bunch, you know, and but that one was like, I want that, you know. So I think also there's that journey of looking for something. We might realize if you can research more on the sounds, maybe there might be connections to self there.
Yeah.
Even me, if I can dig deep to the musician that was recorded, you might realize the reason the body speaks first than my own self and my comfort is because there's something greater than just me. So it might sound all philosophical, but the reality is you can't be a creative and not be in touch with self. So I think for me, that's what I'm enjoying. And he has made me write, and this project made me write again, because I'm always trying to organize people to write around ideas like these ones. But now I am in it, which is good.
I just wanted to pick up on something you're saying about communication and language, that like music or any creativity, I look at it as a language, and it's a way of saying things that maybe our spoken language, our words can't say, but we can articulate it with a note or a sound or a color or a shape, you know. We can articulate things that words can't say, and so it's like having this conversation with whether it's a musician or a forest, even, you know. It's like there's something that comes through that is more than. Even if I did live in 1950 in that part of Africa and meet that person, there's something that I can know about them through these recordings that I might not even know if I did meet them, you know. So, again, it's just there's something that's another reason why this is worth doing, you know.
Music or sounds is a connector to life. It's like even the cliche thing about when people say, is it alive? They hear the pulse. Pulse is sound, you know, like so like it is that thing, like even most people say when it hits you, you feel no pain. How does it hit you? Basically, it's the inside, it's the natural self, the thing that we cannot see, but you only see it throughout the person who's listening's eyes, that there's an emotional connection. So for me, I think the sounds are beyond the sounds that you react to it technically because it's loud, but it's the emotional connection to self. So so for me, I think the beauty of this whole project is like, We have more to learn to ourselves as a people who are physically hear about the sounds. And I think for me, if I would have spent more time listening to more, I would have never done anything, because it's, honestly speaking, it's difficult to even write with the sounds, because you're like, I'm done. You know, the performance is not the performance. It's like, me, I'm okay. Like, what do I need to do? I'm fine. I could just write one line. Thank you for letting me listen to the sound. Actually, this was a very transformative process for me. Like, there was a moment that I felt like that, like, what can I do? This is great. Like, what am I doing? I'm going to be downplaying on this. Like, my memory is not ready to actually deal with this. But because it's so emotional, I don't want to lie. Like, it is, it's real. Yeah.
That just, yeah, like you say, just listening to it is, yeah, is a powerful thing. When you listen to it in a way that is kind of open to receiving it, you know, and like, it's, I want to get quite deep now, because it's like, it's energy. Like, sound is energy, and by recording it, we're capturing that energy, and then when I play it through my speakers at home, that energy is released again into my home, that time, that place, that whatever it is, it is with me, and so there is a part of that time is now as well, and that energy that left this imprint in that wax cylinder or whatever it is, that energy is alive again, you know. When we listen to that recording, and when we hear it, you know, it's vibrating our eardrum now, like, so that vibration that left the print in the wax cylinder is the same vibration that is now vibrating my eardrum and affecting my biology and being interpreted by my brain and giving me goosebumps and all of these things, you know. Like, that's...
time traveling.
Yeah, time traveling, it is. And it's, you know, and it's the same thing that, like, all of these, you know, whether it's a pot in a case in the museum or whatever it is, they've all got that energy in them that, like, you know, if I was to scratch this table now, like, that is my energy being put into this table, and the energy that moved the molecules of the wood out of the way for my fingernail to go into the wood, like, that energy is recorded there now. And it's in every single thing in there, every single thing in any of the collections, it's all there. It's all that kind of stored energy, you know.
The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. The first thing we heard was her heart. Breath. Steps from the inside. Her voice. Her voice. Her voice. Her voice. Her voice opened our eyes, anointed our ears, drum the first vibration. The year of our birth comes and passes, the earth turns, unrehearsed, We open our mouths and trust the right words burst from our lungs. We know the verse and the hook, though it's yet to be sung. Arrived here as one. Now we've begun, things can never be the same, but we remain in unison. The hurdles overcome, led us here. So let us be here. So let us be.
Does it make a difference to you as artists, who are obviously very informed on sound, the difference between listening to a digital recording of a wax cylinder versus listening to an original? And how do you think that might change or in this process?
To the actual original wax cylinder, yeah. I think for me, I would love to do that. Because when something, like the more you record something, you know, there's bits of the information that are lost. Each time it's recorded, and that, you know, I guess that's part of a process that, as a hip hop artist, I guess I embrace that and I work with that loss and that it's part of the texture that I like. But it would be really special to actually directly receive those those vibrations, like closer to the source, I guess, you know.
I think for me, it's amazing that this one recording is making us have like a serious conversation about the entire universe of sound. Mm-hmm. So meeting the source is the scariest moment, because it's like, there's so much you would want. First, so much you would want to speak with the source. If there could be that chance to go time traveling to 100 years or 50 years and say, that guy who played, maybe in these corridors, there might be someone from that family who might have never met that person, but luckily, I've met it through the sound. And I think we are meeting those people. And those moments are magical because it's like now we are given ideas to play with these, to make them deliberately sounding in a certain way. So in a way, I think I feel part of me like a researcher, part of me being inspired to replicate and also find uniqueness in it. So I think the source, it's scary. I'll be overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed every time when I go through things that were recorded way, way back. You feel like this magical moment, I wish I was there, but it was not my time yet. But at this moment, I treasure the person who recorded it, because I can travel to that moment and understand why certain things we long for. Because we long for, I can use a word like authenticity. We're longing for that when we listen to music. And these recordings gives you a glimpse of music, not too much digitized, but raw, like mistakes you could hear, like, okay, this person is making a mistake. Like now when you're producing music, people, when you make a mistake or string breaks, it's like everybody sees a mistake or something wrong, you know, judgmental. These people were playing for the sake of energy.
That point about kind of the randomness, and you know, you mentioned it a couple of times about like that, what was classified as a bad recording, but actually it's like, that's what you love. That's what you wanted.
Classic.
Like, and it's, yeah. And I think it's a really just a, I guess, to draw a bit of a parallel that, like, you know, when I make, so even the music that I've made using these archives, I don't know how someone's going to interpret that. I made it with an idea of like, this is what I want to say, and this is what I want to communicate, but I don't know how someone else might be inspired by that or how they might interpret it. So in the same way that like this person made a recording and they're like, oh, that's a bad recording, but X loves it. Like, in the same way that I might, you know, it's happened to me that I've made tracks and I'm like, you know, a few years later, I'm like, oh, I've happily forgotten that I made that track. And someone will come to me and say, oh yeah, that track you did, I love that track, you know, that, that helped me through this time, or that, you know, that inspired me to do that, or, you know, like I was listening to that track when I did this painting or whatever, you know, like, so you don't know when you're making a recording or when you're making a piece of art, you don't know kind of the ripples and the echoes that it's going to have into the future and how that's going to create new ripples and echoes, and then those ripples and echoes will create new ones, and like, you know. So we were talking earlier about someone who used to work in the Pitt Rivers called Ellen LaRue, and who was an influence on Noel, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other people who work here. And even though I never met her, the ripples that she created that inspired Noel, that now I meet Noel, and Noel brings me here, you know, so there's still this connection of between me and Ellen LaRue, even though we never met, you know, the ripples that she left behind are still here. So they're still a part of her, they're still here. In the same way that the energy in those recordings, when we listen to it, is still here as well. So yeah, there's a lot of these circles. Right?
See, everything starts with a story. Emerging from eternity to be here, now, in this place, in this hour, this house of creation. Home to many chronicles, like a library, stores stories, shares them. But books aren't necessarily the medium. Tales permeate the place like poltergeists, possessing those they pass through, becoming part of them. Part of their story, their journey.
I love this idea of the ripples and the circles and all the people and kind of makers it brings in. You know, we've talked about environment as a maker, as well as the recorders, people who are working at museums and people who are, you know, coordinating things, as well as players of instruments, people who make instruments, people who take those recordings and remix them. And how do you guys see yourselves within that circle of makers?
I think for me, like any artist, I think for me, it's an inspiration first. I think I see myself as a student and as someone who must continue archiving good sound, archiving ideas, archiving past, future, present. So I feel like I'm a custodian of whatever was in the past. And as a creator or creative, my duty is to learn and create. So I feel myself in part of all this. I want to sound unique. I don't want to sound I am just a copy and paste of something else. So through this process, I feel I'm uniquely every day being revived to sound, as I said before, authentic. Sound like I'm a creator within the environment that influences me. I think these sounds are influencing the direction I've already taken. And it's sort of like, I'm a creative, revived, I can say, revived musician to actually produce music that can acknowledge the wrongs, acknowledge the future goodness. So I think that's the beauty. I feel like I'm a, what do you call those people? Diplomatic mediator or something. I feel like between the people who say they're ethically recorded people and all those things, I feel I'm the trying to be that ethical mediator. Says, okay, this is a, let me create from this and say, we acknowledge these two people of the artist who was playing and the recorder, and me, I'm the one who's taking from both of them and being a musician and create some new life.
One of the purposes of art is to inspire more art. And so, like, I guess that's how I see myself in that continuum, that like I'm receiving art, I'm being inspired by it, I'm creating art and I'm putting it out so other people can be inspired by it. And it, and when I say art, I guess I'm using a quite loose definition of that. You know, I think art can be, I think sometimes art is just living, you know, and just living in a certain way can be art. So yeah, that's what I want to do. And that's kind of, I guess, how I see myself in these circles, in these continuums, is that I'm part of continuing it, you know, and it's like, I receive some gifts, and if I don't continue to share, to create more and to share gifts with other people, then that stops with me. And like, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be where it stops, you know. I want to be part of it continuing.
We're talking now kind of about this kind of responsibilities towards the future almost, as well as the responsibilities towards the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious how you sort of see, maybe in reflection to what you've done, you know, with us in the past sort of few weeks, but where do you think the future of working with museums and, you know, the work that we should be doing as museum professionals and, you know, the work that you as creatives would like to do with museums, where do you see that going in the future?
I think the role of museums in the future, especially museums like this one, is to bring people together and to show that the separation of and the kind of the ways that we classify ourselves and or classify each other and put each other into boxes and categorize and stuff, like all of that is ultimately, to me at least, is an illusion. And that, like, I think actually places like this demonstrate that whether you're living in the coldness of North America or you're living in a jungle somewhere, you need to eat, you need to be with your family, you need to have shelter, you need to create art. There's these things that we all share, that like, we're not separate and different, you know. We might have different ways of flavoring our food or different ways of wearing our garments or whatever, but ultimately, like, we're just part of an extended family that it isn't that different at all. And I think a place like the Pitt Rivers Museum is just an undeniable example of that. That, like, we called this event Gathering Place. Because it's a gathering of all of these objects, but also it's a gathering of people and cultures and time and all of these things that we can see. There's actually like this one thread, you know, me and X made a track last night, and I'm going to try and remember one of the lines from it now. It was something about, we're divided into countries until we see that we're one tree. And that's the way I see it. It's like this space and museums can be, and I think should be, a demonstration that we're one tree. We're not divided. We're not separate things. Mm-hmm. We're just branches of this same tree.
It's beautiful, because the whole song is about, we are not divided as a people, but the people who gives us the illusion of division. So part of the whole process, I think what, for me, what I like and hope it could be an extension to more other artists, with the intention to say what is kept here exists. It has a pulse itself, because every instrument sound that we've listened to was made by people. So meaning that it is alive. It is made by someone. It's not created by itself. So it still carries that person in it, whether we don't know the person, whether it's dated on time, meaning that you're connected to a history. So meaning that it might be seen as a museum that collects things, but it collects lives, you know, people's emotions, people's histories, people's time, and we evolving around it. So for me, it's nice to really see something in England and say, okay, I see why in Makanda my city looks like here because of the history. But at the same time, I see Imai, which we use for ceremonial, and then seeing a picture, which we did last week, that looks exactly like a art and a ceramic piece done, and it's here behind the glass. It's like, okay, we still continue. We still kneel when we're drinking from these cups. So in a way, I feel the university, yes, they must continue enabling creatives to interact with what is here.
I love as well that the archives are still being added to. And I think that's really important that that should be continued, you know, even commissioning artists to make objects for the collection and things like that, that, you know, I think the collection should be alive as well. I think there's a perception that I probably held myself until fairly recently that, you know, a museum is a place where someone went out in Victorian times, collected a load of things, put them there, and here they are, and nothing ever changes, you know. And I think that's so reductive of not only history and kind of what we are, but also like the cultures and the communities that created these things, that, you know, it's sort of what this person or this place was in 1860 or whatever is not the same as it is now. And so if we only show what it was in 1860, we're not being true to ourselves, we're not being true to what's happening now. And I think adding new things to the collection is a way of showing that everything is changing, everything is always evolving, and those inspirations that we receive from generations before us are influencing us to create new things now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that conversation is continuing. That conversation will never stop. And it didn't stop in 1860 or whatever when that thing was collected, and it's not stopping now, you know. Some of the things I'm saying now, I might not think in 10 days or 10 years or whatever. My opinions will change depending on what I receive and where I go and things. So, yeah, I think it's really important that, it's a difficult thing for institutions to deal with, but I think the collection needs to be constantly expanding, because that's what life is, you know?
Till sunrise, unwind the night, find time for life.
eyes wide, mind in the stars. Steps on the path, blessed with the task to party. Ask, how can he say no? Leapt took the chance. What he says, let the pain go. Last light of the day glow. See things all the same. Move from the drought to the rain. Move from the mountain to plain. Use all the words that he made. He's no excuse to participate. Sunset till it gets late. Bless new days with a serenade. Yes, till sunrise. Unwind the night. Find time for life. Till sunrise. Unwind the night. Find time for life. Till sunrise. Unwind the night. Find time for life. Till sunrise. Unwind the night. Find time for life. Till sunrise. Unwind the night.
I'm interested in how you both been here as creative fellows and in residence, as it were, and able to shape work that is recorded and will be performed in situ, in the space here. So when I first moved to South Africa, I was following sounds I knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. Here, we've been exchanging sounds across South Africa, Oxford, US, mm-hmm. and now here in presence. And two recordings that have cropped up is a Wax Cylinder recorded in 1909. We know by a government anthropologist, didn't really know how to record. You hear the technology, the uncertainty, a very extractive mode. The Forest recordings, we know something about those histories, an attempt to document a whole way of life by an external collector who spent time here, who's in the sound bed, you know. So we interact with the histories. There's students, curators here that know a lot about the collectors and these sorts of things. But there's also this concentrated maker load that's in that gallery space, and you've been absorbing and around all of that as you compose and write. And so I wonder how important that's been to your process to write, and also what the composition and performance brings to the space and the collections, you know?
Yeah, it's essential for me. It's like it's a huge part of it that, like, those, you know, I mentioned earlier about those kind of ripples that through time, you know, and continuing this kind of cycle, like, that's all part of that, that, like, you know, there might be a part that I never really paid attention to, that, like, you know, just glanced out of the corner of my eye, but there's a part of that is in me, because I've interacted with that energy from it. And so whoever made that pot, a part of them is in me, and a part of them is in whatever I do from now on, you know? So like it's massively inspiring, and more than inspiring. There isn't a word for what it is, but inspiring, I guess, is the closest thing that, like it wouldn't be the same thing. Like if I was to take those recordings and climb up a mountain and listen to them, then I would produce something completely different, you know? So it's like everything is part of it, you know? Mm. And everything makes it what it is.
Yeah, for me, I think it's a very difficult one, but also it's relieving, you know? I think for me, if I was going to finish recording in Makanda and not come here, I know many ways I could have done that, but my recording wouldn't be influenced by the present moment. I remember when I arrived and I walked around, I looked at the titles and like, why? Like my mind was like kept on being like the noise of the people and the titles, you know, so much was going on. And I took off my headphones. I was like, took out my bag. The book was in my pocket, so I took it out. I put it on. I felt like researching, like a researcher, like I put on points. But as much as I could remember, it's like I finished a poem about reflecting. So my writings are more like reflecting to my experience, to the environment that I was exposed to. And the environment that I had to walk around first, I saw beadworks that I think are related to amagqirha, which is spiritual people. I see beadworks that I could feel like I know certain things cannot be mixed because they might be wed by people for certain stages and stuff like that. So if they catalog together, they are conflicting. When they put things together, they put them together because these are clay pots. They don't put them, okay, they have different purposes, so they should not be mixed. So these energies that are conflicted, and these, so for me, I kind of felt there's so much fighting within these things. And then there was one line in my poem that says, that speaks about the seed, that, you know, it's like a shattered seed. But that shattered seed, even if you shatter it, it will grow something else. It's like, so I felt like I could take these things home, but these things have made life here. So in my poem, they're like talking to me. It's like, okay, take a sip in this cup, you know. You've come a long way. You are thirsty. We're fine. We have settled here. Just tell them that we're good.
And it goes like this. Incindi yengcambu ihlaphazekile. Izizwe ezimnyama zihlazekile. Ingqondo ihlukelekile. Umphefumulo uxhwalekile. Indlela ikude. Rhabula kulebhekile. You come a long way, grandson. Kodwa ke izandi zezinyanya zona ziya aziyekelanga ungqisha. Sikhumbuleni kolo lizwe. Vuka Afrika.
So for me, I was thirsty for knowledge and understanding. So in a way, it's kind of like a visit to myself. So that's, so the process is more myself connecting to the older self to say, okay, continue to what you're thinking on the process of trying to build a society that understands that there were these things that were mixed, but try to find that little time to pair them right. Be part of that puzzle that wants to pair them right. So I guess for me, that's the feeling, like in the mountain, I wouldn't write because I would enjoy the air. Mm-hmm. And then when I get home, then I was like, reflect on it. So, but I've really like never been that creative in terms of writing music. But here, like 3 poems came up just like that. And they were like, the pen didn't stutter, it moved. And I only stopped because I looked at the time. But I know that I would have continued writing. Even now, I'm like feeling it will never be complete. I cannot complete my experience because an experience is continuously shaping. So I think for me, my moments, they're like the same recordings. That moment of me writing that poem, even if I could be asked to do it again, I won't write it the same way because it continuously taking shape. So hence, obviously, next time when we do this, it'd be much more explosive, you know, because I think this is a small micro, you know, and that I think it is expanding inside me. I think something is growing. It's like a ball that is rolling, you know. You know when you feel home, I feel like I'm not in a new environment because of what I see and because of the people that I've met. It feels like I've been here before because of the familiarity of things I see. Like, you know, the spears, the Zulu Ulanduga spears, the beadwork, I saw mfingo, I saw like fabric. So I know these things, I feel these things, you know. So in a way, I feel the sounds become the ceremonial existence of all what is here. So sounds supersedes in a way, because even if there was a ceremony, there would be someone singing. A drum will be hitting. Even if it's something from Asia, there'll be music made. So in a way, you feel like sound supersedes. I want to listen to more recordings. I want to record more myself. And I think there's more exhibition that could be done, something that could be more like a week long that could be done. So the gathering will decide, like any gathering was, is a specific, we are gathering for this people, but the gathering itself give birth to more gatherings.
Now, you might be wondering what creative fellowships like this have to do with research here at the museum. I asked Chris Morton and Beth Hodgett to tell us a bit more about the Making the Museum research project and what these creative collaborations add to how we understand and approach our collections here at the museum.
This one says Intsukapi. Intsukapi is the origin. So this one, we play around the idea of understanding the origin. Before what we call now. It says, Nyana womd, wena wambile amazwe, wofikelela apho singafikelela ngakhona. Thina siyambile phambi kwexesha sofika apho ngafikelela ngakhona. Thatha ke, funda ke, izizwe ngezizwe zihlangene. Zona zizwe zithungelene, wena ke bathungele nawo. Hlabela ukhwelo, uqamagushe apho kufanele kukho khona. Uhlabele ukhwelo kwizizwe ngezizwe, wena ke ungcwalisekile entliziyweni engqondweni. Mamela nxa kuthethwa, zinza nxa uxelelwa, mamela imfundo kuba ubomi imfundo. So basically, this one was more of like the origins as people. I spoke as a traveler, relating that as a people, we come from far as people. So your duty as anyone who travels is to plant a seed. So my journey then was to open up the conversation and share with you this beautiful place.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Making the Pitt Rivers Museum. We hope you enjoyed exploring how makers, like the musicians we've heard from today, can be at the heart of a new approach to museum research. You've been listening to X and Rose, Chris Morton, Beth Hodgett, Noel Lovely, and me, Becky Martin. Our episode release schedule is guided by our real-time work with artists, researchers, and community experts, so it might be a little irregular. If you want to make sure you hear from us as soon as we put out a new episode, make sure to subscribe, follow, or bookmark us wherever you get your podcasts. We already know that we'll be back for our next episode with Kalani Fernando, our first SAN Community Visiting Fellow here at Oxford. So we do hope you'll join us next time to hear about the stories our SAN collections tell and the work she's been doing to help us improve our museum labelling. Until then, we've been making the museum.
Inside, her voice.